Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the order of preachers around the world. Today, from the United States, we hear from Katie Beadle Rice. Katie is a catechist and a writer who lives with her husband and three children in Boise, Idaho. Her preaching today is entitled, Seeing with God's Eyes.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up the mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen son. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord. We began the Lenten season on Ash Wednesday with the prophet Joel's words, "Even now, says the Lord, return to me with your whole heart." In Lent, we enter into a journey of conversion in which, through prayer, almsgiving, and fasting, we prepare our hearts to encounter the Lord of life in his risen glory at the feast that crowns our whole year. Each Easter Vigil, along with the catechumens who are baptized, we celebrate the moment in our own lives when we, or our parents and godparents speaking on our behalf, proclaimed our intention to live with our whole hearts as children of light. When catechumens are welcomed in the rite of acceptance and state their desire for baptism, part of the ritual calls for their sponsors to place the sign of the cross over each of their senses, marking them as followers of Christ. As the eyes are signed, the presider says, "Receive the sign of the cross on your eyes, that you may see the glory of God." In today's first reading and gospel, we have two instances of human beings contemplating the wonder of the divine through the gift of sight. For Abram, who God had called to go forth from your land, your relatives, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you, the innumerable stars in the night sky are the sign of his Creator's ability to bring light from darkness and fulfill even seemingly impossible promises. God's instruction to Abram to look up at the sky and count the stars if you can comes in response to Abram's anguished cry, "Look, you have given me no offspring." Abram is seeing from a human, limited perspective. Though God has promised to make his name great, he and his wife are elderly and childless. How can his name be great if he has no heir to carry it on? But God's sight is not like ours. Where we might be tempted to see only barriers and obstacles, God calls us to look beyond. In turning his gaze to the stars, Abram's eyes are trained to focus on the limitless expansion of God's creation, a creation that Abram is called to be a part of, even though it is unknowable, uncontrollable, and defies quantification. In the Gospel reading, Peter, John, and James are also treated to a revelation of God's glory in the Transfiguration. On the mountain, in prayer, Jesus is transformed from the humble preacher and wonder worker they had come to know to a man clothed in dazzling white who converses with Moses and Elijah. Inside of a cloud, the disciples hear the words, "This is my chosen son. Listen to him." Abram, Peter, John, and James are each offered glimpses into the divine life of God. When Abram wakes up the next morning, the stars he gazed at in wonder will no longer be visible. As James, John, and Peter make their way down the mountain, they are accompanied by their friend Jesus, no longer remarkable in his clothing or conversation partners. And yet we know the stars remain even when we can't see them. And Jesus, whether he is found in a manger as a vulnerable infant, resplendent on a mountaintop, or nailed to the wood of the cross, he remains the Son of God. In their lives thus far as Jesus' disciples, they have sat at the feet of their master, eager to hear his teaching. Of course, this didn't keep them from questioning sometimes. Only a few verses earlier in Luke's gospel, the 12 respond to Jesus' instruction to feed the 5,000 by protesting, "Five loaves and two fishes are all we have." It's an answer that seems to echo the attitude of Abram before God commands him to number the stars. A way of resisting God's invitation to join him in the audacious belief that love is stronger than hatred, life is stronger than death, and abundance greater than lack. In the spiritual life, we might intend to live as children of the light, but unless we have eyes to see and ears to hear God working in our midst, we miss the opportunity to live into the fullness of life which Jesus promises to his followers. Poet Brian Doyle wrote in a book of Uncommon Prayer, "We are handed miracles beyond number, every blessed moment. If only we can train ourselves to open and see and hear and taste and feel and smell and absorb them." As we journey towards the joy of Easter, may our eyes be opened to the glory of God present all around us, and may we recommit with our whole hearts to live as children of light.